This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. I can't believe it. I owe the bloke $2.
Everybody cheer. It's a great day in the Jones household. I've won $2 off the old dragon.
And Jeremy and Jack to get a photo. Wow, what a brilliant score. What a great weekend they had.
The North Island Pairs, Jeremy Fraser-Hoskin and Jack James. Just remember where you heard it first, on the Bridge Zone.
Yeah, that's right. And I put the commentator's curse on Judge Julian Bailiff. Hey, they made it to the playoffs.
They did, yes. That was good. Such so well good done field, to Jeremy Barry. And Jack.
Such a good field.
It always is when it's online, isn't it? You get a big field and you get a strong field.
It's lovely, yeah. Did a little bit of kibitzing on the Saturday. No, on the Sunday. I was pretty busy on Sunday.
I understand you were playing online during the week in the Tauranga Ladies 3A.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a South Island Quinella, that's right.
So the winners of the Tauranga Ladies pairs were Paula Gregory and Anne Somerville, and Sue Southern and Pam Tibble were runner-up.
So Timaru and Invercargill, the first pair, and two Christchurch players for the second pair. Now, how long ago do you think it's been since we've had South Island entries for the Tauranga Ladies pairs? I'd suggest maybe never.
The power of online. There were some connection issues, which is probably the only thing that would put you off online. There are ways and means to get around it.
Go the South Island. Well done. Yeah. Not much in it, by the way. There was only 1% between those first two pairs. Bit of a gap back to third and a bit of a gap back to fourth. The North Island pairs, second were Ian Berrington and Graham Tufnell. Third were Tim Pan and Lysandra Zing.
Good practice before they go over to Denmark.
Yeah, that's right.
So my question to you this week is, what are your thoughts on overcalling at the two level, showing a stronger hand than just a normal overcall? So let's say opponents open one diamond and I've got a 12 count with six hearts and I bid two hearts, telling partner I'm in the 10 plus range.
I would say that weak jump overcalls seem to be probably more common than intermediate jump overcalls these days. Right. So I guess you're suggesting an intermediate jump overcall. Actually, I play intermediate jump overcalls unless we're green against red is the only time. That's not vul against vul. I'm not saying that's the right way to play it, but I quite like intermediate jump overcalls. They're still preemptive. They're a bit harder to bid. Like when they make a weak jump overcall, it's really, unless you've got 6 to 9, and it's not really going to stop you from bidding if you've got a bid usually. If you actually make an intermediate jump overcall, well, they can be a bit harder for them to bid. And what's more, partners sometimes are in a position where if they step out of line or they find out they're in a misfit, they can double them because they know you've got 10 to 15 or 11 to 15 points, yeah, whatever your range is. I don't think a weak jump overcall to the two level, I don't think it's that disruptive for most pairs. And, you know, they'll quite often have enough to bid at the two level or to make a double.
Okay. Is that the same as Benjaminized Apple?
No.
So what is that?
That's just your method for a weak jump overcalls.
Okay. Yeah.
I've never played Benjaminized Acol, but I think it's mainly about your two bids. The two bids are a bit different. I don't know anybody that plays Benjaminized Acol. Okay. Anybody that's listening that plays Benjaminized Acol is like, yeah, we play. Well, send us an email and tell us just to prove me wrong. BridgeZoneShuffle@gmail.com.
Isn't it a combination of weak and strong two bits?
I honestly don't know. It's not something I ever played, and it's not something I ever wanted to play. And it's definitely well out of fashion. I don't think too many people playing it. I mean, certainly in the open tournaments, you wouldn't strike anybody playing Benjaminized Acol.
Right.
I mean, these things do come and go out of fashion. People lose interest in things like Power Acol and things. There's all sorts of things that have sort of gone out of fashion.
I was going to mention Power Acol.
There's better things to play.
So if you're looking for something better to play, to jazz up the one you currently have, Barry's saying, don't go looking at Power Echo or Benjaminized Echo.
Now you're going to get me lynched, don't you? I mean, hey, look, if you went along to the World Championships in Denmark later this month, I would have a bet with you for $2 that nobody would be playing Benjaminized Echo or Power Echo.
Hard case.
That, to me, that's a good enough indication. Somebody did a survey a few years ago. Two-thirds of the people at the World Championship were playing some sort of strong no trump with five-card majors. That may not be the best system, and there'll be plenty of people that will say, oh, no, you're much better off playing strong club and relay, and there'll be a bit of that. But the reality of it is most people will be playing some sort of strong no trump and five-card majors, and quite a natural system.
Whaiakine. Coming up next, we have Judge Julie, and it is a long segment because there's lots to talk about. Now, I've been directing for the last 5 weeks at Hamilton, and maybe we just get blasé and forget all about it. But some people just don't even announce. Let's hear what the judge has to say.
Court's in session. The court's in session now. Here come the judge. Here come the
Good
judge.
morning, Judge Julie.
Good morning.
This week's question is about announcing and alerting. Sometimes people don't announce and you sit there staring at them. So tell us what we should be doing.
There's a whole raft of stuff around announcing, alerting, and not alerting. The reason for announcing a no trump and a one club opener is because there's a lot of variety about what people play. So they are commonly got slightly different meanings. And one of the easy things is if it's announced, because we all know what our partner's one club and one no trump means, if they are announced, then the opponents do. We don't have to alert the one no trump because of the range. We announce it. And years ago, there was a thing came up about when it wasn't 12 to 14, it should be alerted because it was other ranges. Now, because we have so many people playing something between about 11 and 18, now we announce it. And that covers all the system issues. And it's the same with the one club. And normally it's something like 2, 3, or 4+. And we just say 2+, 3+, 4+. Or if we're playing what we call a big club system, where it could be none, we say that the bid is strong and something about it along those lines.
Okay.
So that people know. So that's why we announce, because those bids are commonly used by everybody. They have a range of meanings. So rather than alerting them all the time, we are now just announcing them. If someone doesn't announce them, then we can just ask because it hasn't been announced. The next thing that we do is we alert what the bids are. Now, in New Zealand, we don't alert stamen, the two-club after partner has opened one no trump, and we don't alert a strong two-club opener because they're endemic in this country. So we don't alert those. You will find in some other countries that they are alertable because they're not natural. But in New Zealand, we don't alert them. We don't alert one club and one no trump now because we announce them, but we do alert transfers, which is the best place to start, because the bid does not mean what it says. Okay, so if you open one no trump and I bid two diamonds and you alert it, it shows 5+ hearts. And seriously, the simple explanation is exactly that, showing 5+ hearts. Not transfer, but just exactly what the bids mean. That way the opponents know they don't have to dig down for more information.
Right.
When we're an opponent and we're asking for information, the fact that we're interested some of the time means our partner's getting information we don't want. Our opponents should be helping us know what the bid means so we don't have to keep asking more and more questions.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Really important. And when we do ask a question, if we want a good answer, we don't say, oh, is that a transfer? And they say yes or no, right? We ask, what does it mean? So they have to tell us what it means, because sometimes people assume things that just aren't there. Don't ask questions that get yes or no answers. Ask questions that give you explanations. All
That's
right?
A good tip.
We alert bids that don't mean what they say, or in some cases, because they have extra information. A big example of, say, we're playing a week two, which I think most people do, like two diamonds or two hearts, make it two hearts, and partner bids two no trumps saying, tell me more about your hand. If the two no trumps is forcing and saying, tell me more about your hand, that is a lootable. It's not inviting game. It's not saying I want to play here. It's saying, partner, tell me more. So it's got a meaning that's outside of what two no trumps is, if
Yeah.
that makes sense. Partner then says something about their hand. Now that's something what it is. So if I open two hearts and you bid two no trumps and I bid three hearts will be lootable because it's showing a specific range. I'm saying I'm minimum or I'm maximum or I don't know what I am or something like that. So it's got information that is not just about saying I want to play here. It's information that's got extra stuff to it. And that is the thing about the alert. Either it doesn't mean what it appears to mean, which is like transfers, or it's got additional information outside of just what it appears to mean. And if you
Okay.
alert something that you shouldn't alert, in general, you're going to be safer than not alerting something that should be alerted, in general. So that's alerts. We alert because it doesn't mean what it appears to, or it's got an extra bit of information that our opponents are entitled to know about.
Yep.
And we say with alerts that other than opening bids, if you open any level and it's got an unusual meaning, it's alerted. Once we've opened, if we're responding or overcalling or anything else, if it's above three no trumps, we don't alert it anymore. It's what we call self-alerting. That is, we don't alert it. Our opponents, if they want to know, will be asking. But because there are so many things that have so many different meanings, then we make it self-alerting. Doubles. Doubles are self-alerting. We went through a period of time years ago where we said that penalty doubles weren't alertable, but takeout doubles were.
Oh.
Right? And then people played lots of takeout doubles. So we changed it from takeout doubles weren't alertable, but penalty doubles were. And then we had this whole raft of stuff, which is sort of in between a no man's land about what people thought things meant, but they didn't necessarily mean them. So there is a whole lot of stuff about doubles that mean that if someone makes a double, ask what it means. There are two types of doubles. They tell partner to bid or ask partner not to bid. And in that, we get league directional doubles, we get doubles that show specific suits, like over a no trump, their system's called don't, crowbar, Lionel, all sorts that
Yeah.
have other meanings for double than penalties. They're asking their partner to bid and they're showing their partner something about their hand. Doubles are self-alerting because the whole range of things just creates so many issues for people about whether they should or whether they shouldn't. Now, the same is for what we call cubids, or when we bid the opponent's suit.
Yep.
Now, if you open one heart and I bid two hearts, and people say, why isn't it alertable? Really simple. Why could I bid your suit when you've bid it? All right. Now, for beginners, that does happen. So it's a wee bit harder when we're learning to play about all of this stuff around. And that makes it very hard for our beginners because they are just bidding naturally. Most people, when the opponents have bid a suit, that is that they've shown a specific suit, then if the opponents bid that suit, why would it be alertable? You know it can't be natural. Everyone knows it can't be natural. This is one of the ones that sort of annoy me because how can it be natural if you've already bid it to play there? Okay. However, the regulation goes a bit further and says not only is if I bid a suit you've shown not alertable, but if I make a bit of a suit, that is like a transfer, and it's got a weird meaning that also isn't, which is another story in itself. If you alert by mistake, most often you are not going to have an issue. I know it's a minefield, but self-alerting bids are bids that commonly have a range of meanings, and we know they have a range of meanings, or they have a meaning that we know can't be natural. So we don't have to alert them. But at the end of the auction, if we are the declaring side, we have to alert them to the opponents before they make their opening move.
Okay.
Okay. And that leads us to the really good habit. Before you're on lead, say, what does all of this mean? When you are declarer, say, what did this mean? So that you don't just think you know what the bidding means, but you actually do know what the bidding means. Really, really good habits to get into in those areas. So when someone doesn't alert something that they should, their opponents are allowed to rely on the fact that it is natural and it means what we think it means. If New Zealand Bridge have regulated something as alertable, we are allowed to rely on the fact that our opponents know the regulations.
Oh.
The most common area where this sort of falls apart in a major way is if Barry opens one diamond and I jump to two hearts as his partner. It is natural, but it is not forcing. And if it's not forcing, my opponents are allowed to know that. And the New Zealand regs say if you make a bid, a jump bid like that, that is not forcing, then in general, it is alertable.
Yeah,
When my
okay.
opponents don't alert their partner's bid as not forcing, I can assume, and maybe they're playing strong jump ships, which is a system that's sort of gone out the window, as far as I can tell now. You preempt three clubs and it goes past and I bid three hearts, natural and forcing. If it's not natural and forcing, it's alertable.
Okay.
If you open one heart and the opponent's pass or double and I jump to three hearts, say you're playing Bergen, so I've got 0 to 5, or say we're playing preemptive raises after a double and it's got 0 to something. If it can be a weak hand, it is alertable. If it is not alerted, I'm allowed to rely on the fact that it is a limit raise or better.
Okay.
Okay, it's got value. It's got something where you think we might have game or we do have game. All right. So there's a whole raft of stuff in the regulations where we are reliant that when New Zealand Bridge regulates, that if it doesn't happen, that our opponents have the hand that they must have. And then when that doesn't happen, it's the same as giving the opponents the wrong information. So we have a whole lot of stuff that happens after that.
The non-forcing bids, though, maybe we don't alert enough here.
Well, we don't allude enough here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it is confusing because, for example, if you bid one heart and I bid one spade and you bid two clubs, that's not forcing. But that's not allutable. It's just a normal rebid. If I'm playing precision, I got asked this the other day, and I open one heart and I've got something like 11 to 15 points for that bid, and my partner bids one spade and I jump to three hearts, that's not forcing. I'm showing a maximum hand in our system. Right,
Right.
there's a whole raft of things where it gets murky, which is why a lot of the time you need to know what system people are playing. That's why we have the pre-alert stuff at the beginning.
Yeah.
Even if it's just saying standard American or a big club system or ACOL or whatever it might be, that gives us an indication of what their bidding means. And if we don't understand that system, then we can ask a bit more about it if we need to.
What about these cunning precision players? And sometimes they'll, I mean, this is not alertable. Their partner opens and they know they're limited from to 10 to 15 or whatever. And sometimes they'll pass with, you know, 7 or 8 points because they know there's no game on. They can pass. And then later on, they show up with all these points.
Well,
it shouldn't be allowed.
Yes, it should, because our lesson to beginners, Barry, right, is when we open the bidding and you respond, it is because you might have game. And with 6+ points opposite 19, you might have game. If our opponents say they're playing 10 to 15 points, what's the minimum number of points where they know they might have game?
Oh, God, I've got to add up to 25.
Yeah, I know. It's really bad, isn't it? Not just 13, but 25. And that's why I said if someone says they're playing something that you don't understand, it's really important at some stage that you might want to ask what the bidding means.
Yeah.
Because you want to know what to lead, just because you want to know whether you should be bidding or not.
But I've also got that thought in the back of my mind, is that I shouldn't be asking, oh, actually, no, I've sorted it out myself. I shouldn't be asking throughout the auction if I'm not intending to bid, but I have the opportunity to ask questions before the first lead is done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you absolutely should. People just don't ask. They think they know. Like, I play week twos with people generally because there's so much system around the multi. So when my partner opens two diamonds, everyone just sits and waits for the alert, which I don't make because it's
next.
So you get some interesting situations. And there are some good players that don't play transfers. And the whole table sits and waits for the alert, which is quite amusing in some ways. So if you need to know, right, we're not saying people can't ask questions. Say we play a highly conventional system, Patrick and I, so we'll drive people nuts when we're relaying, and none of the bids mean what they appear to mean. At some point, if you're thinking, what should I do, just say, what's happening at this stage? Da-da. And so we can tell you. If you say, what did three diamonds mean, five bids back, and your partner's on lead, there's a problem because you're asking about one specific bid in amongst a whole lot of stuff, and your
Oh,
partner is
right.
on lead for the final contract, and you're showing a lot of interest in a specific suit. The same, one no trump, and you bid two diamonds transfer, and this hand's really keen on what two diamonds is, but isn't going to bid. The partner has information that they're interested in what two diamonds means. That's not information they're actually allowed to have. So if you leave it and at the end of the auction, ask. If you were intending to bid, you can ask. Your partner's still going to find out something about your hand. That's just life. We can't get everything perfect. If you ask because you're intending to make a bid, and all of a sudden you find out that the two diamond alert had meant spades or something, and it makes a big difference to what you're going to do, of course you're going to pass. It's sort of common sense. It's sort of difficult. Sometimes it's sort of impossible. We just do our best. So it's sort of like hesitations where we take a long time to think. If we ask questions and then we bid, if we stop to think and then we bid, in general, there's not much of a problem. If we alert something that's not alertable, in general, there's not much of a problem. Every now and then, there will be a problem, but far less of a problem than if you don't alert something you should. It's just a murky area. So I hope things are clearer. Maybe the mud is a wee bit dimmer than it was from that deep, dark stuff, but that's difficult.
I think that'll be it for us.
Okay, well, you have a good week, and we'll see you next week.
Will do.
We got an email just saying that Michael Wibley, Kiwi, was part of a team with three Aussies that won the six session Roth Swiss teams at the recent North American Bridge Championships in Philadelphia. And they also made it to the round of eight in the Spin Gold knockout teams. That was with Sartaj Hans, Andy Hung, and Nabil Edgerton. So well done to them. And thank you very much to Gary Ansock in MI3 letting me know. I had actually seen it, Gary. The reminder was welcome.
Perfect. Go Wibbly. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, know when to run. Right, it's time for your tip.
Okay, my tip is quite a simple one, and you're going to think, what the hell is he telling us this for? The simple thing is, if when you're declarer, if you've got a long suit to run, run it. Even if it's only four cards long, but if you've got a critical decision to make in another suit, or you've got a problem in another suit, you've got a whole lot of losers in another suit, just try running your long suit. It's quite difficult sometimes for the defenders to know what to do. And that includes the trump suit. If you've got a long trump suit and you've drawn all the trumps, you don't need to draw anymore, but you could afford to play a couple more rounds just to make life difficult for them trying to know what to defend to do, then play another as many rounds of, as you can just to make life difficult for them. Or maybe they are actually genuinely squeezed. I don't want to talk too much about squeezes, but they're complicated because they're complicated. But I did have a hand on Saturday where I was in six spades, and I had a hopeless six spades. I had three diamonds to the ace opposite three to the jack. I thought, oh God. And I've got ace jack to four clubs opposite a void. So I can pitch one of the diamonds, but I'd already lost a trick by they'd cashed their ace of hearts at trick one. And I then this looks pretty hopeless. So I roughed a club hoping that some miracle would happen and the king and queen might come down, but nothing good happened. So I ran all of my spades. There were quite a few of them. And the hand on my right, I don't know what the odds are on this, but they had the king and queen of diamonds and the king and queen of clubs. And when I played the last spade, they couldn't keep
They
all of
couldn't
them.
keep them all.
And so I ended up winning the ace of clubs and the jack of clubs. I started with ace jack to four opposite none. And they had six of them and they had to throw them all out. So I ended up making six spades just by running your long suit. So there you go. Happy days.
Is there any such thing as a natural system nowadays?
Five guard majors, strong no trump. Ackle is pretty natural system. Standard American, 2/1, all those things, they're natural systems. And you do find a lot of countries that really don't like artificial systems. France is one of them. The French, they like to play a natural system.
Yeah.
And a lot of countries are like that, don't like messing around with these things. But hey, there are some people that love it. And certainly there are plenty of Kiwis that like to play something different. But so far, that hasn't won them a world championship.
No, you're right there.
I heard an interesting thing this last week that a member of our club in Hamilton won an event, just a three-session event.
Yeah.
Nothing unusual about that, except that this guy's been playing for nearly 20 years, and this is the first time he's won anything.
Really?
So I just wondered if there's anybody out there that can beat that record. I think it was 17 or 18 years that he's been playing for. And this is the first event he's ever won. So he was delighted. Has anybody else had a drought that long?
I wonder if he's changing partners, for the next session event.
I would say yes. I mean, seriously, after 17, 18, you'd think after 10 years, you'd start to think, I wonder if it's ever going to happen. And after 12 years, you'd think it still hasn't happened. And after 15 years, you'd be thinking, am I going to die before it happens? I mean, how long did it take before you won your first event, if you can remember? I actually don't remember, but it wasn't
You're
17
talking
years.
about club sessions.
We're just talking about a club event, just a 3 or 4 session club event, and you come out on top. How long did
Oof.
it take you to win your first one? And how long is it before you since you won your last one? Has anybody gone more than 20 years?
I can say I haven't done that. Where I learnt in Palmy. And so on Monday nights was a pure junior novice session, which I joined. I managed to pick up something there, and I think we got runner up for the junior champs that year too.
I guess there's a lot of players that go along and play and don't win much, if at all. But I reckon you sort of like to think that everybody would win something occasionally. What do they say? Every dog has its day. Even a blind squirrel finds the occasional acorn. All those saying.
Look, I would say to that person, go and get more partners. Keep going. Let's hope. You're on a roll.
Yeah, but you're not on a roll until you win the second one.
Well, that's what they're going to roll on to. Don't give up. Don't mean to be rude, but do they really want to wait another 20 years, or do they have another 20 years? Well, that's about it for this week. Take care, everybody.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.